RadioArchives.com presents Black Bat's Challenge, An Adventure of the Black Bat by G. Wayman Jones, read by Milton Bagby. Out of the night comes a menacing winged figure, the Black Bat. Blind District Attorney Tony Quinn takes his battle for justice from the courtrooms to the streets, prowling the city skyline as the Black Bat. His prey, criminals who live beyond the reach of the law. Masked, cloaked like a gigantic bat, and able to see in pitch darkness, the Black Bat is assisted by hulking Butch O'Leary and former con man Silk Kirby, as well as the resourceful Carol Baldwin, the daughter of the lawman who donated his eyes so that Tony Quinn could resume his war against the underworld. A war to the death, fought with scientific skill and blazing 45 automatics. Operating outside the law, the Black Bat is relentlessly hounded by police captain McGrath, who suspects that the blind DA is really the human bat who breaks laws in order to uphold justice. And now, the Black Bat's thrilling adventure, Black Bat's Challenge. Chapter 1. League of the Damned. A blind man with one arm stood against the brick wall of a deserted old factory building not far from the center of the great city. He held a harmonica between his lips and deftly moved it with his teeth and tongue to produce the melody of a popular song. His right hand, his only hand, held a tin cup, in which he was jangling a 5-cent piece noisily to attract the attention of the pedestrians who hurried by. Another cripple, scooting along on a wheel platform made with roller skate wheels, passed by the blind man. Suddenly the tune of the harmonica changed to a weird, dismal air, of which only a few bars were rendered. The cripple on the rolling platform inclined his head just the slightest, and suddenly sent his small vehicle down an alley beside the factory building. He was rapidly swallowed up by the darkness. This same act happened again and again. Always some maimed person, disreputably dressed, maneuvered by, and always the blind man reverted to that melancholy song. It was a signal, for each cripple scurried, limped, fumbled, or rolled down that same alley. A clock struck 10, and the blind man with the harmonica muttered a curse at two young men who walked by without jangling a coin into his cup. A patrolman wheeled around the corner, and the blind man vanished instantly. In the darkness of the alley, he ripped off his dark glasses, blinked a few times, then hurried on. His blindness was cured miraculously. He reached a small wooden door, weather-beaten with age, yet solid and studded with huge steel nails. He tapped on this smartly with his cane. It opened, and a scowling hulk of a man let him in.
"Okay," the doorkeeper growled. "You did a swell job out there. 231 guys are here for the first meeting. Boy, I'm telling you, this is going to be some proposition. Yancey has got what it takes. Wait and see."
"Sure," the blind man agreed quickly. "We all know something has got to be done. With them bluecoats driving us off the streets and stopping us from making an honest living, me, I'm in favor of anything."
"Right you are, Squinty," the doorman said. "Now scram down them steps. Turn right at the bottom, and you'll find guys posted around who'll show you where to go."
Squinty, the pseudo-blind man, obeyed those orders eagerly. Whispered commands took him into a big cellar storeroom, musty now and damp. It had not been used for more than 5 years, but it served as an ideal meeting place. The big room was full of men, men without arms, without legs or eyes, men who talked with their fingers. Some slouched on the floor, withered useless legs sprawled out, crutches dropped beside them,